Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, back in 2008, about a little more than 7 years ago, when my family and I moved back to Colorado after we had lived in New Jersey for 8 years, we never quite imagined the kind of journey our move would become. Though our own part of the trip was relatively uneventful, when we arrived here in Colorado, we arrived to our new home that we had bought, and the chair of the call committee was there, and she was so polite and delightful, and we shared some stories and welcomes and greetings and such. And then after a little while, she said, "Well, you might want to sit down now. I have something to tell you." You know, when somebody tells you that, what's going on? She told us that our moving truck, we didn't have cell phones at the time, and our moving truck had hit an overpass at full speed. The entire top of the truck just sort of peeled back. That picture on the screen is not our moving truck. But you get the idea that this is not a new thing. Other truck drivers have experienced this as well. The top of the truck peeled back, the sides of the truck kind of fell away, and on top of it all, it was raining. So almost everything that we owned sat there in the rain on the side of the highway, strewn about several hundred yards around the highway. What wasn't damaged from the accident or from the rain then was loaded quickly and carelessly into a freight truck, not a moving truck. And so then more things were damaged then. And by the time our belongings got here to Loveland, many, many weeks, who knows where all they went, many, many weeks later, there wasn't a whole lot left. So we set up a table on our front porch, and as the movers unloaded the van, we would sit there, and anything that was good, we'd say, "Yep, go ahead and go this way, go into the house." And anything that was damaged, we'd say, "No, take that into the garage. We'll have to take a look at that for insurance claims and such." It was quite a scene, as you can imagine. And honestly, probably one that we maybe had a little bit too much fun with. I mean, you know, as the movers brought a box off the truck, for example, one of them would bring a box, and clearly it was labeled with kitchen glassware or something like that, and they would shake it, and it was pretty clear that there probably was not a whole piece in that box. So we'd laugh and say, "Oh, there's another one. Go ahead and take that one in the garage." And they'd bring another one and another, and most of them went into the garage. The movers were amazed that we were able to kind of laugh at this situation. The truck, most of the moving truck was filled with our belongings, but it had a couple of other people's belongings that they had to drop off first. And those folks apparently weren't as, didn't find it as humorous, and they weren't as kind to the movers. So they wanted to know, how are you able to laugh through this situation? And I don't really know what the answer is, but I think maybe, as the old saying goes, if you don't laugh, you'll cry, right? Or since then, I've heard another saying, another quote that is kind of new to me, but I like. It says, "Always find a reason to laugh. It may not add years to your life, but it will add life to your years." I don't know if you've heard that one, but I like that one. That's a good one. Always find a reason to laugh. It may not add years to your life, but it will add life to your years. I think Abraham and Sarah must have been familiar with these quotes. Or if they didn't, they at least lived in principle by them. In today's scripture, they laugh. But at least at first, their laughter is not the laughter of joy. See, at least 25 years before, God had promised Abraham and Sarah land. and descendants more numerous than the stars, more than the grains of sand, the dust of the earth. And now, some 25 years have passed without the birth of a child. They have traveled nearly 1,000 miles by foot, and with everything they have owned, Sarah is almost 90 years old, Abraham is almost 100, and life is drawing to a close for them. They left their home. They left their comforts. They left everything they knew on a promise. And now here they stand with almost nothing to show for it. At the point of our scripture today, Abraham and Sarah are visited by three men whom the story says were bearing the presence of God. And right before these three men leave Abraham and Sarah, they say, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Now remember, Abraham is about 99, and Sarah is about 89, not quite childbearing years, right? And so, what did Sarah do? Sarah laughed. She was listening at the tent entrance, just behind Abraham and the visitors, and the story says she laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old, and after my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" Sarah laughed to herself. But Sarah isn't the only one who laughed. In the previous chapter, we didn't read this today, but if you were to look, actually starting at chapter 12 of Genesis, God keeps coming back to Abraham, reminding him of this promise. Time and again keeps coming back, and he says, "I know you've been waiting, Abraham, but that promise is still good." And in chapter 17, God reminds Abraham that, yes, Sarah will have a child, and many nations and many kings will come from her. And you know what Abraham did? Abraham laughed. In fact, I love that picture. In fact, the scriptures say that they don't just say that Abraham laughed. They say that Abraham fell on his face laughing. He said to himself, "Can a child be born to a man who's 100 years old? Can Sarah, who's 90, bear a child?" Abraham laughed. Sarah laughed. But I don't think that their laughter was the kind of laughter of joy or happiness. I'm not even sure that it was the kind of laughter after a good joke is told. But this was no laughing matter for them. Put yourselves into their situation if you can. They wanted a child. They needed a child. This is more than just wanting a baby. This was that they had left their entire lives behind on a promise. They had left everything they knew. Everything they owned was what they could carry. And now, if they don't have a child, it seems like this journey has been completely wasted. They're too old to have children. And so I think their laughter is this laughter, maybe it's of disbelief, maybe even of scorn, maybe the kind of laughter that after a really bad joke has been told, you know, like a bad joke, but you kind of want to be polite, so you, you laugh a little bit. Their laughter is the kind that kind of ekes itself out from your guts when really all you want to do is cry. Their laughter is the laughter when somebody says something ridiculous in the midst of a difficult time. In the midst of your own pain, somebody says something that you wish could be true, but you know it's just not possible. But when Sarah laughed to herself about this ridiculous promise, the strangers, the Lord that appears to them said, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" This word in Hebrew that's translated wonderful can also be hard or difficult. Is anything too wonderful or hard or difficult for the Lord? And I think it's a question that Abraham and Sarah are asking. I think it's a question that we ask so often. Incidentally, there's another time that a stranger or a messenger from God appears before a woman and says this kind of thing. In the first chapter of Luke's gospel accounts, where we hear about the birth of Jesus, an angel appeared to Mary telling her that she's going to have a child. And she says, "How can this be?" And the angel says, "Nothing is impossible with God." Well, back to Abraham and Sarah. After these three strangers leave, a lot happens after this story. Abraham and Sarah's journey continues, and then several things happen, and then it's almost like out of the blue. Remember, we're in chapter 18 of Genesis, and then out of the blue in chapter 21, three chapters later, Sarah and Abraham have a baby, a son. And Abraham gave the name Isaac to his son, whom Sarah bore him. Now, we're talking about being named and claimed in this series, this sermon series. We're talking about the importance of names. And this name, Isaac, tells us a story. See, Isaac means laughter. And the story that this tells us is more than just about the laughter. You know, it's more than just a story about Abraham and Sarah, though they are important characters here. The story here is less about people, and it is more about God. This is a story that tells us that God is a God of laughter. And as Sarah says in verse 6, at the very end of our reading today, "God has brought laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh with me." And that is what this story, I think, is really about. It's not just about having children at an old age. I don't even think it's about having children at all. Though, and as much as there are many people that we know who are struggling with this, this story is about how God is a God of laughter. This story is about how God can make impossible things happen. And it turns out that God has a sense of humor, especially in those times when bad things seem to happen, when our journeys through life seem to be full of wrecks and wrong turns and wanderings that may seem to last forever and take us nowhere, those kind of times when it all seems like all you can do is either cry or laugh. Especially in those kind of times, God has a way of transforming our laughter. Whether that laughter is that laughter of disbelief, maybe it's a laughter of scorn, maybe it's that fake laughter that says, you know, this really isn't funny at all. I'm sick of this. I'm done. The kind of laughter that keeps you from crying, God has a way of transforming it. God has a way of breaking open what once was closed, maybe even startling us awake into thinking in the midst of an impossible situation, is it possible? Could it be? Could it happen? When everything else that you seem to know would say that it's not. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? Sarah laughed to herself. Abraham laughed so hard he fell on his face. But their laughter wasn't yet a laughter of pure joy. But it became so. And so they named their son Isaac, which means laughter, because they laughed and because they knew that their God was a God of laughter. And God doesn't stop with them. God extends that joy beyond just the laughter of Abraham and Sarah. When Sarah says in that scripture, "Everyone who hears will laugh with me," she understands that everyone will laugh with her, not only out of joy, but they'll laugh because they will see that God can do anything. There are many places throughout scripture, I think, where this happens, where God transforms laughter. But the most important, the one that I keep coming back to as I think about this, how God changes laughter, happens on Good Friday and Easter. As Jesus died on the cross, there was laughter. And it's not the kind of laughter we're proud to admit or we want to talk about. People jeered at him, laughing and saying, "He saved others, why can't he save himself? If you're the Messiah, bring yourself down." But even God transformed even that laughter to a laughter of joy that has lasted thousands of years to come as people celebrate the miracle of Easter, how God made the impossible happen, how in Jesus God brought life out of death, laughter out of scorn. We know Sarah's laughter. We know Abraham's laughter. We know the laughter of those people who jeered at Jesus on the cross. How could this happen to me? How did I end up here? What did I do to deserve this? How could anyone love me? How will I ever be healed when I feel so broken? What could God possibly do with me? Or why would God call me? God is the God of laughter. As I think about what laughter means and what comedy means, you know, in literature, comedy takes on a sort of a different form than just a shallow laughter. There's a quote from Christopher Fry, the English playwright, who's also known for writing the scripts for Barabbas and Ben-Hur. And he wrote, "Comedy is an escape, not from truth, but from despair, a narrow escape into faith." In my own family, God transformed our laughter about that moving truck accident and the loss of all of our belongings. Through our laughter, we found an escape into faith. Out of and in the midst of a terrible situation, we felt the love of a new faith community as they supported us, sometimes with borrowed furniture or meals or whatever it may be, prayers. And we learned, maybe more importantly, that it was just stuff that could be replaced. Sometimes you just have to laugh to keep from crying. But know that this laughter isn't senseless, and it certainly isn't faithless. Otherwise, I think God would have left Abraham and Sarah behind long before they had their baby Isaac. This laughter is a faithful best effort of meeting God where we cannot go by ourselves, because God is the God of laughter and of life. But when we laugh, even if it is a laughter of disbelief or scorn, or the laughter that keeps us from crying, God can transform it. And maybe we can't laugh. But even when we can't laugh, God can turn our mourning into dancing. In Jesus, God has already done the impossible. And I don't know how, but God will do it again. For you and for me. So when your life might feel like a wreck, when your life might feel like this, remember that you are named and claimed by God. And God just might turn your laughter into real laughter, into joyous laughter, into a laughter that says God can do anything, because God is the God, the Lord of laughter. Thanks be to God. Amen.